Happy Sabbath, church family. Happy to be once more here. Seems like I just saw all of you yesterday. wanted to at least make some announcements. I know that we were already said it, but definitely for the prayer line with Brandon and Holly, we will also. If I'm going to ask Brendan to send me the link itself, and then what we'll do is we'll send a text message to everyone. So all you have to do is just hit on that on your phone, and if you have the application already downloaded, it should pop up. So it will be that easy. Yes.
The link is on the church calendar in the description of that particular.
Okay, wonderful. So I'll just copy and paste it, and I'll send it to you, Steve, and then you just send it out in an email text message blast. So that way we can participate for those who have the time to participate. The other thing is that next month, in which normally I would preach the first Sabbath, we're going to have a special guest, and that is our president of our conference, Pastor David Jamieson. So he'll be here with us, but he's going to come in the morning. So we'll have the sermon in the morning instead of our lesson, and then we'll have our lesson after he is finished and gone. He's going to head to OMAC. So he's trying to visit all the churches. The night before, he's going to be in Chelan. If anybody wants to head to Chelan for whatever reason, he'll be also in Chelan on March 3rd. So, I'm excited for that as well. And then in April, we do have, hopefully, we'll be able to have an evangelistic meeting as well with a pastor friend of mine. His name is Anthony Burrell. He's actually just got hired, I guess you could say, by our conference. Very intelligent young man. And so I'm hoping that he can also bless us with the word of God. So we're a busy church. A lot of things happening, and we will continue to be busy. I was at the school the other day, and they're going to start pretty soon the work on replacing the carpets from the flooding that happened while the school was not we were not having any classes there and all that. And the insurance company is going to replace the whole thing downstairs, all the carpeting downstairs. And so I'm very grateful for that, but it doesn't include the stairs, which hopefully we can raise some funds to so that it could all match together. And it doesn't include the classrooms. It does include the upstairs hallway, the front foyer, all that. But it doesn't include the classrooms. So I'm hoping that I'm speaking here for Doug, I guess you can say, kind of getting ahead of myself. But as I was looking at that project, I said, no, we might as well get everything redone since it's been years, right? I imagine that has been the same carpet for years. So it's just time. Anyone that wants to volunteer as well to help remove the carpet, just let Doug know as well. So I think those are all the announcements. Please keep in prayer the Spanish church. They have a week of evangelism on the 12th through the 18th. And so that's going to be big for them, being their first evangelism week on this year. And then please pray for me as I head out right after that on the 19th through the 24th or something like that. I'll be in classes near Ridgefield, near Vancouver. So I'll be out there taking my extensive classes. Pray that my brain doesn't fry. let us pray so that the Lord can speak to us through his word. Father, we come to you once more. Thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for this Sabbath morning. And as we dive into your word, I just pray, Father, that the words that I speak may not be mine, but may be guided by the Holy Spirit. May we be able to open our hearts and be able to accept it, believe in it, and share it. We love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Funny story, when I was younger, I decided to get married to this beautiful woman. Her name is Barbara. I don't know if you guys met her. and she's not here today. She's actually at a ventures meeting, training with over in Wenatchee. But When we decided to get married, one of the things that we said was, listen, we do not want to be late to the airport to miss our hotel. I mean, to miss our flight to leave for our honeymoon. So we paid extra for us to stay at the hotel at the airport. This particular airport had an actual hotel, like right there in the airport. Okay. So that we won't miss our flight. Well, we decided that when we got married to do something spontaneous. It was my idea. The girls and boys the night before, what we did for, before our marriage, what we did for like bachelor's or bachelor's party, we, you know, we don't do that type of stuff. But we, you know, we say, well, let's, instead of, you know, to celebrate, let's go out and the boys and the girls, we're going to go and have some bowling, do some bowling. And, you know, and just have bragging rights. And so the girls beat us that night. I don't know how that happened. So I had the idea because my reception, we kind of finished early and everybody was happy and ate. And we thought, hey, let's just finish up. Let's wrap it up. And so I had the bright idea because they were like, what are you guys going to do right now? And I said, well, I mean, we're just going to go to the hotel and just go to sleep. They're like, no. We got to do something. I said, why don't we get back at the girls and let them know that we just were being nice to them and let them beat us. And all the guys thought that was a brilliant idea. And the girls took on the challenge. I wish I had the picture up here to show you. We had a wonderful time, but I didn't realize how late it was. And so we get to the hotel almost at 1 o'clock in the morning. Our flight leaves at 5:50 or 5:45, something like that. And we're like, well, we just got to go to sleep. So we try to go to sleep, you know, take a shower, go to sleep. And I thought I set the, you know, the alarm clock. Well, I set the alarm clock for 5:30 p.m., not a.m. So when I wake up, something woke me up. I wake up, I realize it's 5:10, something like that. We can make it because we're right here in the airport. Mind you, my wife is not that type of person. She likes to be ahead and she plans everything. I give her a lot of credit for that. And she says, I can't believe it, Omar. We're in the airport. We planned this for 2 years and we're going to, so we're, our adrenaline is, you know, up in flares and we're running, getting dressed. I don't even think we brushed our teeth. Okay. We just headed out and we're just like, you know, I'm carrying all the luggage because I wanted her to go, you know, faster or whatever, and then get to the. That's back then when you had to check in and all that. You get to the person. So I'm dragging with all our luggage. Most of it was hers, and as we finally get there, she's already talking to the person. I'm just like sweating like crazy, and they're like, sorry, sir, you missed your flight. Oh, that feeling that we missed our flight. You know, as you were going there, you're hoping that maybe something had delayed it and all that. And we missed our flight and you had to see Barbara's face, right? I mean, this is our honeymoon. This is our first. I was like, so is there anything else we could do? And so the lady said, yes, there is. You can actually catch that flight by taking a smaller airplane that is leaving right now. I can't do small airplanes, but by the look of my wife's face, I had no choice but to take the small airplane, get on the airplane. I'm like praying to the Lord because I see propellers on the side, you know, I'm like, this is not good. The gentleman that's sitting next to me, he goes, you look a little pale, sir. You look a little white, a little pale. And I'm like, yeah, I'm scared. And he's like, don't be scared. You'll be fine. Well, as we're taking off, I don't know what happened, that the plane took a big dip and my stomach was not having it. Immediately, like, I started puking. Long story short, Barbara is like totally ignoring me because she's mad. I'm sitting next to this gentleman. He's like, you know, you okay? He's another bag. He gave me like at least 3 bags. And, get to New York. We're able to catch our plane. We actually were able to get on that plane. And I was like, whew, right? my wife's face changed, you know, and she started treating me nicer, you know. But the reality is that that feeling of missing the plane and that feeling of disappointment, right? I had planned this for 2 years. I told her I'd take care of everything, right? And I did. I really did. I just, that little AM and PM button, you know? And so I believe at times, too, we can make mistakes and also fall asleep and not realize the importance of preparation, the importance of God giving us his word for us to be able to not only just see the times, but be prepared for the times, be able to know the times that we're living in. And so I come with this message. It's a little bit of what I spoke of last time that I was here on Sabbath, because I really feel the urgency that this year we definitely need to have a sense of urgency in the things that we do. I'm not going to deny this, and maybe as a leader I shouldn't say this, but I'm one sometimes to procrastinate. I think we have a lot of time, and sometimes I realize that we don't have no time. And so I feel that at times I can do better. I can prepare myself a lot better, especially having a wife that loves preparation. I look at her and I'm like, how does she do it? And so I try to mimic what I see. And so we need to kind of, as a church, also do the same, where, well, there's some people here that have strengths more than others in different aspects of different things that they do. And we need to hold ourselves together. And I'm going to share this message that Paul had for the people of Romans at this time, but I also believe that it applies to us in our time. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, he says these words, and as I was looking into the context, he says these particular words because of something. And I just want to kind of dive into the first verse here. Verse 11 says, and do this, understanding the present time. Now, I'm reading from the NIV, but it's pretty much the same in the other versions. It says, and do this, understanding the present time. Okay. Now, the first thing I need to take a look at is, what does he mean by "and this"? Why he's saying "and this"? Right. And so we understand that there has to be something before this in which he's speaking of. And if we look a little bit ahead, backwards in verse 8, he's from verse 8 to verse 10. He's talking about fulfilling the law. And what does that mean as a Christian to fulfill this law, the law of treating each other right, the law of being able to submit ourselves to the government as long as they do not, the laws that they put, do not override that of God's law. Like, he's given us these instructions, right, of how we should treat each other, how should we treat those around us that are non-believers. He gives us a call to action with love, in regards to love and sacrifice. So this is how a Christian lifestyle should be, is what he's saying. And so as he states that, and his last verse there in chapter 13, verse 10, he says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And so one of the things he's telling us here is that this is vital. This is very important, because as we read verse 11, he says, and do this, understanding the present time. So besides keeping the law, besides loving on each other and loving unconditionally the way that he loves us, okay, he also says we need to do this in this present time. There is this present truth that you need to know, that I've been trying to tell you, I've been trying to, you know, convey to you, that is vitally important. And he says, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. To wake up from your slumber. Now, this astonished me as I was reading this and reading into this, because, my friends, these are the new believers. These are like the original, I call them the original G's, the original believers, okay? These are the ones that started it all, and they're already what? falling asleep on the job. Okay? They're already falling asleep on the job. If that was back then, what is that to say about us now? Right? Is the first thing that comes to my mind. If that was back then, what is to say about us now? And so he says, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Okay? Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. This is plain English, looking into the Greek and everything like that. There were some things that did stick out, and I will touch base on that, but I just want to get this whole picture here. He's like, listen, it is important to keep the law, of course, the law of love. It's important to live it out. It is important to make sure that this is, that you're doing the sacrifice, that you're making sure that this is evident in your life. As a Christian, you need, this is the 101 to be a Christian. But then you have to understand that these times that we're living in are vital. And because these times are vital, you need to wake up because the time is near. The time is nearer. The actual verb, the adjective is describing, they're nearer now than when we first believed. And then he says, the night is nearly over and the day is almost here. And so I was looking into this, and it's just like Paul lived his life in such a way, my friends, that he desperately was wanting to see Jesus face to face. That was his number one goal as a Christian. See, he understood the law was important. That was important to him, not only in his culture, but he understood that that was a fulfillment that needed to happen within Christian believers, that you still kept the rules, my friends, that the rules were important. And that's what pretty much in Romans we look at, that even though there is grace, even though there's this love, we still have to show loyalty to our God. We still have to believe in what he has given us to follow, because it's not for our, it's not going to hurt us. It's actually going to bless us. It's actually going to allow us to be identified as children of God. And so he has this mentality, this mentality of, listen, I want you guys to be saved so bad. I don't want to just be saved by myself. I want you guys to be saved so bad that I don't want you guys to fall asleep. I don't want you to be in a slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. As a matter of fact, if we look at 1 Thessalonians, if we go there, chapter 5. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 5. He kind of reiterates this to another church as well. He says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. This is very detrimental here. He's telling us two things that are very important that he also, when we go back to Romans, he will continue to let us know. Look what he says in verse 12. He says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. My friends, here he's pleading with the Romans. He's pleading with the Christians here. He's like, listen, we need to stop. Somehow, some way, we need to stop feeding the darkness. We need to stop giving in to our sin. Those things that keep us away from God. Those things that sometimes we think that are, it's not that bad. I'm not, okay, God understands me. You know, we need to stop that. It's what he's saying here, because if God is light, and in him is no darkness, and we say we walk in the light, what does it say about what is really coming out of our mouths? It's a lie if we say that we walk with the light. That's 1 John chapter 1. So again, we have to understand that Paul is making this contrast here. He says, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Wow, he just mentioned some straight up, like, some things there that this was happening at that time, and what do you think is happening now? And so as Seventh-day Adventists, I believe most of us here are Seventh-day Adventists, and we know scripture. We know we're studying Revelation now downstairs, and we're getting deep into this, into Revelation, and we're gonna get into this. But as we look at, let's say, for example, the seven churches, as we look at also Daniel, and we have all this truth in front of us, they didn't have that back then, like we have it today. And so if it was bad back then, imagine how is it now. As we look at the world, and I was looking at the top 10 news, and everything was negative, 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 negative. Whether it's rumors of war, whether it's, you know, collapse of the market, whatever it is, it's just like negative, negative, negative. There's nothing positive. Top 10 news of the day. And so there was even one that was referring to the doomsday clock. You guys heard about that? They call it a doomsday clock. And basically, I'm going to kind of give you a little detail here to what this is. I saw this and I was like, what is this? In Washington, D.C., in January 24, 2023, the doomsday clock was set at 90 seconds to midnight, due largely, but not exclusively, to Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the increased risk of nuclear escalation. And so in history, this doomsday clock, basically, it comes from what's called the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists Organization, and they move this hand closer to the midnight, and it represents basically what they believe is to be the symbolic midnight hour of global catastrophe. Okay? Now, this is man doing this, putting a clock, right, and setting this time frame. I had another news that we shared that I shared on Wednesday, and I think some of you guys know it as well. Amazon recently put out there that now you can pretty much make purchases with your right hand and the palm of your hand by, you know, hovering over this machine. And so that's how, instead of using your credit card, you log in your credit card information, and it scans your card. And then moving forward, all you have to do is use the palm of your hand to make purchases. And so as I was reading all these comments, and it was just amazing to see that not only Christians were commenting, but non-Christians were commenting about, isn't this in the Bible? Isn't this somewhere that I've seen this before somewhere? Isn't this like some mark of the beast? People know. People are aware. Non-Christians. I mean, I was going into the comments saying, is this person a Christian? I would see nothing Christian. They just wanted to state. They know that something is up. They know that something is coming. And so, as Seventh-day Adventists, as believers in Christ, and knowing what we know about our eschatology, we may not know the day or the hour, but we sure know the time. And so the question is, what are we doing with our time? Are we, you know, prancing around the darkness? Are we allowing darkness to be in us for a little while? Or what is it that we're doing that is keeping us away 100% from the light? And so Paul says here, let us behave decently and in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness. You know, I imagine that it's not only the drunkenness, again, that sometimes we think, you know, hopefully none of us drink here, you know. But if we were to be in drunkenness, what can drunken our minds? Is it the latest TV show? Is it the constant social media feed? Is it, what is drunkening our mind that is keeping us away from being in scripture, right? And so we have to start thinking about this. Is it my marriage is drunken in my mind? Is it my financial status drunken in my mind? What is keeping us, what is distracting us from getting involved into the truth and getting deep into what the Word of God is telling us so that we can be prepared to have a encounter face to face with Christ and not be on the other side of the stone, right? Not other side of the face of things. And so verse 14 says, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. You see, this is not pastor saying this. This is the Word of God. This is the Holy Spirit inspiring Paul to speak this to his church or to the churches in Rome. And then also to speak to us today, because we are waiting anxiously, hopefully, and with despair, wanting to see Jesus, wanting to see Jesus end what's going on. And going back to First Thessalonians, there at verse 14 from chapter 5, look what it says here. This is what we're supposed to be doing for one another and to those that don't know. It says, "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else." This is some work that we need to get started on and continue doing, continuing to strive to be good, continue to strive to be perfect as the Father is perfect. Okay. And so it doesn't mean, I love the fact that we do have the grace of God and we have an advocate that stands up for us, but at no means is it that we are not to strive, my friends. There's a reason why we're striving. Okay, there's a purpose behind it, and at the end of it all, we're going to see that this striving is going to bring us closer and closer to God, meaning that we're going to continue to finish, we're going to finish this work that He called us to do, to spread this gospel to everyone, this gospel of love, the fulfillment of love in which He was just talking about. And then when everybody thinks that everything is okay, that second coming is going to happen. Yes, we are experiencing some difficult times. I understand that many of us may be struggling. Inflation will continue to inflate and do what it has to do. The government will continue to do what it has to do. But we cannot allow those things to dictate our spiritual walk with God. We cannot be distracted by those things. You know, we have to continue moving forward in the trajectory, saying, "Lord, please come. Let me help others also get to know who You are. Let me give hope like You gave me hope." Because there's going to come a time, like in the book of Amos, if we want to go to the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 12. This I'm pretty sure you've heard before. It's a small little book. Amos before Jonah, chapter 8, verse 12. Look what it says here. It says, "People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." They will not find it. There's going to come a time that people are going to be wanting to hear the good news, wanting to know that they have hope, but it will be too late. Unfortunately, it will be too late. And so my sermon today is that, you know, I had another episode not too long ago. We went to celebrate our 20th year anniversary, and I wanted to redeem myself. I really did. And so I planned everything. I planned everything ahead of time. I bought the tickets. I did everything ahead of time. And I thought I had everything planned. And so I even got a hotel as close as I could to the airport. And we actually got 3 hours, okay, ahead. 3 hours ahead. Now, my wife suggested 4 hours. But I thought 3 hours was good. I really thought that 3 hours was good. I thought that was good enough. I said, "Come on, 3 hours." Well, when I got to JFK, okay, if you ever fly through JFK, just know that 3 hours is not good. The line to fly internationally was so long. I kid you not, this is what happened to us. As we're getting closer and closer, there was one piece of paperwork that I had to make sure that we had, that it had to do with making sure the reason why we're flying to that country, etc. And so as I'm filling that out and we have everything all set, we get to the front of the line. I mean, we get to the person, the ticket person, whatever, and she goes, "Oh, may I have your passports and all that?" And as she's checking us in, she goes, oh, I can't do anything for you. Excuse me? Yeah, you had to check in your bags an hour before your flight. And I said, excuse me, baby, I got this, don't worry. Excuse me? I said, it is exactly, we were leaving at 8 o'clock, it was 7:59. I said, it's 7:59. She goes, I'm sorry, but the system is not allowing me to check your bags. You can fly, but you can't take your bags with you. Yeah, that's not going to happen. We need to fly. I was here 2 hours waiting on the line, and this girl was like, she was just standing, you know, like she was firm, and she just, and the look on my wife's face was the same look that we had years back. It wasn't a good one. And so, you know, I tried to get on another plane. I was trying everything. You know, we headed back to the hotel. You know, I had to get an Uber and head back to the hotel. And it was a long night, let me just tell you. The only thing that made it a little bit better is that we did have New York pizza. She was happy for, like, a brief moment, you know. And I knew I had, because I made her smile, I had, like, this, you know, hope that things would change. And it did. We were able to get a plane on the next day, you know. But there's nothing like the worst feeling when you miss something, you know? She warned me, my wife warned me, 4 hours. If I would have listened to her, honestly, if I would have listened to her, we would have made the flight. She was right. That's why I say that, because she's not here. She was right. I still don't admit it to her, but she was right. You know, God is right too. And he gives us the warning. Let us not throw it away. Let us not continue to fall asleep and hit the snooze button. Let us wake up, do our job, do our due diligence, and press forward. Because if you think times are now tough, they're going to get tougher as we move forward. But all we're going to have is each other and the hope that God has left us through Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you once more. We can't thank you enough. And I know I sometimes say that a lot, but really your word gives us insight, because there's a lot of distractions out there. And sometimes we allow ourselves to be distracted, whether it's by fault or not, but I thank you, Father, because you have some amazing mercy and grace. And this love that you share and you have in abundance, I know it's for all of us, even the whole world that lacks sometimes also of recognizing who you really are. And Father, we know that ahead of us, there's some tough moments, some tough times that are coming. And the time is now that when things are not as tough, that we should prepare ourselves for what's to happen. We should put on Christ, as our brother Paul here says, that we should walk in the light. And so we just pray, Father, that we do these things not because we're trying to gain your favor or because we think that this is the reward, that if we do this, we get this reward, but that we may do this because you loved us first. That we do this because we believe in what you're telling us. We believe in your promises. We believe that you are our God, and that no matter what happens, you are in control of everything, even our little, small, little lives here on this earth. Consider us, Father. Take us under your wings. Show us your ways. And that day when you do come and the sky is rolled up like scrolls and we see our King Jesus on his throne with all the heavenly angels and the names are called out of the tombs and we hear the trumpet sounds, Father, may we be not feeling disappointed because we weren't prepared. But may we have the joy that we have today, knowing that you kept your promise, and here we are, your faithful servants. We love you and we thank you, Father, and we can't wait to see you. So we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.